Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and terrific Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who will be speaking in a minute. But first, let's ask God for his blessing for tonight's program and also for all our listeners. El Shaddai, as we reflect on the seriousness of the upcoming fall season, we exalt your holy name and lift up to you the prayers of tonight's listeners, especially those suffering from severe diseases. We also pray for the request recently sent to us, knowing you are our burden holder and will carry us through all our afflictions. Bless the teaching tonight, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And may the shalom peace that passes all understanding engulf you completely. And thanks for tuning in. I want to begin by asking you a serious question. Is your life and your home completely in order and your relationships exactly as God would have them? Could you be spending more time with Jesus in his word?
You know, I think we can all say some improvement is in order.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Well, an important biblical season is soon upon us that emphasizes advancement in these areas.
Yeah, I think it's called Teshuvah or Teshuvah. Take your pick.
I know. That's the Hebrew. And that's our topic tonight and next week as well. This season is a very important Hebraic Roots 101 time of the year, which always precedes the soon-to-be-fulfilled fall appointments of the Lord, and for a very good reason. So, be sure to have some paper and your Bible ready to go.
But first, how about just some brief news, if that's possible?
I know, right? Be sure to have some paper. The good news is the stock market is doing well, jobs are being created, therefore, the economy is looking good. And as long as you don't listen to the economic naysayers that say the dollar is losing value and we are heading toward a significant downturn, well, then you can keep a pretty good outlook in that area. Here's some good news. The House Judiciary Committee is pursuing an investigation into Hillary, Comey, Lynch, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and many others to also include the unmasking debacle, the leaks, and hopefully will lead into exposing child trafficking as well.
Yes, they must do more in that area.
For sure. There is a sad situation, though, still going on in the White House, in that the National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, has significant ties to the deep state.
Oh, you mean leftover Obama people?
Yes. And has ties with a George Soros-funded group who assisted Obama in helping to sell the Iran nuclear deal to the public and the news media. So, the very conservative advisor, Steve Bannon, wants him out. So we'll see. But it's messy. And in all my years, I can never recall such divisiveness within our government.
Yeah, there really is a civil war going on in Washington.
For sure. And make no mistake, the far-left liberals are working really overtime to bring down our president any way they can. And now last week, the Hillary devotee, Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller, has impaneled a D.C. grand jury.
Yeah, you know, so now they can subpoena records.
Yeah, and people too, who will then be under oath. So if you lie, you're going to jail. So now we are going to see both sides battling it out. You know, Satan just delights in this chaos. And for the latest in Trump news, you can now go to his new cable network called Trump TV. And believe it or not, a female reporter named Kaylee has left CNN to go on Trump's 24/7 newscast.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah. But moving on, in spite of the new sanctions on Putin, who then ordered, remember last week I said, 755 U.S. diplomats out of our embassy there, He still did a good thing over the weekend by joining the United States, along with China and 13 other international countries, in adding even more sanctions on North Korea, which will cost them around $1 billion more in lost revenues.
Yeah, and they implied revenge will follow.
Oh, yes, and it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the past presidents, especially Bill Clinton, they would always negotiate and end up giving into their bribery, basically, by giving them lots of money to maintain peace. Well, that is what President Un was banking on. So he was probably surprised, because it's not happening, at least not this time. And he is still threatening, as we saw today, with more missiles getting ready to be launched. All this as we contemplate sending more Marines into Afghanistan.
Yeah, and I saw this morning we are about to help in the Philippines fight ISIS.
Hopefully that's just with drones, but expensive nonetheless, which will force Congress to have to raise the debt ceiling once again.
Yeah, naturally. So what's new with Israel?
Well, anti-Semitism has risen by 30% in the UK, especially in London, which that's just going to encourage more Jews to go to their homeland.
God said he'd bring them home one way or another.
That's right. And our so-called friends, the Saudis, have once again offered free pilgrimages to the Hajj in Mecca for known terrorists and their families living in Israel.
Yeah, I think it's a mandatory requirement for all Muslims to go there at least once in their lifetime.
Yes, and many will go every year to swirl around a black stone box called the Kaaba with a black stone in it that they say fell from heaven during the time of Adam. This stone was kissed by Muhammad, and so many try to kiss it as well. And they all wear white, as it's the purest of all colors, and they must all look alike.
Don't you have some good news on Israel?
I do. There is now a Christian radio station in Israel that has, for the first time ever, been granted permission to preach the gospel, all in Arabic, and it'll go into Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria to reach Muslims who are getting saved, and they're also having many dreams and visions.
And how about the company in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. You mean that tech company that is injecting identifying microchips into the hands of its employees? And it contains all the embedded information they need. They can open doors, clock in on their time card, buy from vending machines, pay for parking, and it all just comes right out of their ATM account. And scientific research doctors, along with DARPA, are currently working on brain chip implants, you know, to enhance your brain and make you smarter, cure diseases, and to live longer, so they say.
Uh-huh. It's called nanotechnology.
That's right. And people are already saying they just can't wait till it's perfected. Well, you know, it's already being experimented on humans, just covertly at this time, of course. However, they have been openly implanting electrodes in brains for quite a while to treat, you know, severe mental problems and depression. So much more we could say, but let's get into tonight's study. But first, honey, could you tell our listeners how they can easily connect with us?
Absolutely. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message to 844-834-9006, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always needed, and any donation automatically puts you on our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and informative letters are archived for your added learning.
All right, then. Beginning August 22nd, that starts a 40-day season called Teshuvah. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Teshuvah? I don't know. which means to repent and turn to a closer walk with the Lord. Now, on the Hebrew calendar, it is the first day of their sixth month called Elul, and you spell that E-L-U-L. By the way, just so happens that this year it is the day after a full solar eclipse occurring from west to east in the middle of the United States, with a partial eclipse if you live just north or south of its path.
Do you think it means anything?
Well, it could, but I really don't know. It is rare, and God does use signs in the heavens for various reasons, like he said in Joel 2:31, the sun will be turned into darkness before the day of the Lord.
And it did go dark for 3 hours when Jesus hung on the cross.
Yes, noon to three.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, Teshuva always occurs, according to first century Jewish thought, the month before the possible resurrection / rapture. So it's like a warning time, and we'll see that God has on occasion chosen this season to reprimand his people.
So this 40 days from Elul 1 continues to Tishri 10, or Yom Kippur, I think.
Yes. And on our Gregorian calendar this year ends on September 29th and 30th, or Tishri 10, and 10 days before Yom Kippur. That, of course, is Rosh Hashanah, also called Feast of Trumpets, which is the birthday of Adam, celebrated on Tishri 1 and 2. So you can see why this is an important time of the year.
So, 30 days into Teshuvah, you have the Feast of Trumpets, and it finishes with the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur.
That's right. I know it can get a little bit confusing, so you have
it
to really
does.
Pay attention.
It does. You have to really study.
But this is why it is customary during the month of Elul, which is the first 30 days of Teshuvah, to include in all correspondence well wishes to receive a good judgment on Rosh Hashanah, knowing that if the resurrection does not happen, you can still get right with God during the days of awe, or the highest of the holy days, the next 10 leading up to Yom Kippur.
The Day of Atonement.
Yep, which is called that, yes. Now, if you still fail to do that, they believed your name would be taken out of the Book of Life. So we're talking some serious stuff.
Yeah, not good.
Now, this is all set up as typology for us, you know. And it's for our church, for his church, that of course will be born later, to learn that if you miss the rapture and find yourself in the awesome days known as the tribulation, and still fail to repent by the time Jesus returns to the earth, 7 years later, on a Yom Kippur, by the way, your name will not be in the Book of Life. And Paul tells us to pay attention to this, which is what this ministry tries to do. So, dear, if you could read Romans 15:4 for confirmation.
Yes. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Again, repent before the last shofar, or you'll find yourself in the days of awe, a type of the tribulation. It's the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are the holiest days of the year. It's a last chance to repent, or your name is erased from the Book of Life. Again, this is a typology of the tribulation. Now, the new year, also called Rosh Hashanah, in some year, begins the day of the Lord. At the very end of 6,000 years from Adam, and only God knows when that is, which also begins the 7th, 1,000th year of time from Adam's creation. I know I'm repeating a lot of this, but it needs to be. And by the way, this is very important to note to all who study the Book of Revelation. The last trumpet is not the same as the seventh trumpet in Revelation 11. So I had to say that. Okay, again, the first 30 days of Teshuvah brings us to Rosh Hashanah and is at least by the Orthodox still heralded in with the blowing of the shofar, with the last trump blown after a series of 100 blasts on the day of Rosh Hashanah and the second day. And again, it's also called the Feast of Trumpets for obvious reasons. Then there is deep reflection and silence through the days of awe, till finally on Yom Kippur, the great shofar, or the great trump, is blown. Therefore, it too became an idiom for Yom Kippur. What's revealing in Scripture is that we see in the Old Testament that God has used the season of Teshuvah to warn His people of wrongdoing, and we'll probably see that next week. For they did know that at the end of 6,000 years, the resurrection slash judgment day would occur on the anniversary of the creation of man, called Rosh Hashanah or Tishri 1 or 2. And this is all verified in their tractate book on Rosh Hashanah. Now, today, the stricter Orthodox still follow that, but others have gotten away from their Hebraic roots. In fact, Jews today who do receive the Messiah will admit that they have to go back and learn their roots taught in the first century, because the teachings have changed, especially since the Dark Ages, and then came along the newly reformed teachings. And guess what? The same holds true with Christians. You know, since Constantine defiled the church with the leaven or paganism, so we too must go back and learn our roots, but in a balanced way, omitting the legalism, so to appreciate our freedom from the law. As with the spring feast that Jesus fulfilled, He also fulfilled the Sabbath, as He is the Sabbath. In fact, every day should be the Sabbath to us. And by the way, by connecting the dots through a little knowledge of your Hebraic roots, it was very likely that it was during Teshuvah that Jesus was praying and fasting for 40 days in the wilderness and being victorious over Satan. So think of Elul as the final month just before your wedding, and you have an idea of what Elul is all about. Preparation. Of course, this preparation is not physical or material in nature, but rather spiritual, like sanctification. You see, earlier on the same day that Jesus went to pray, He was first baptized by John the Baptist, who had been proclaiming to all to repent. It makes even more sense that it be the first day of the season of repentance. Everything fits like a glove. So then, as soon as Jesus was baptized, He went into the wilderness for the 40 days of Teshuvah to seek His Father while fasting to prepare for His ministry that, by the way, would begin on His 30th birthday. No, not on December 25th, but 5 days after Yom Kippur on the Feast of Tabernacles. And I've taught on this many times, and it's up on my webpage if you'd like to read it again. So it was Jewish law that a man could not enter his ministry until the age of 30. Again, all this was set up centuries before God, before by God. He is very exact and precise in everything. And He set forth everything to happen in a particular time. It's really true. And next week we will see how Moses, the second time, was up on the mountain during Teshuvah to repent for the people. We're going to go all over that next week, and we're going to see how Jesus is, Moses is a type of Jesus in so many different ways. I think I came up with about 35 types of how Moses is a type of Jesus. It's pretty amazing. So make sure you tune in next time. But again, this Moses went up the second time on the mountain. Remember the first time he came down, he saw the golden calf, and we believe that judgment was on the ninth of Av. I think I mentioned that last week. So you might want to read Haggai, the book of Haggai, especially chapter 1, and also Ezekiel 8 and 9. But particularly notice how it was important for the scriptures to let us know what time of the year it was. It comes right out and says in the sixth month, and that's Elul. So nothing is in the word that isn't supposed to be there, and it's not by accident. And you know what? If you don't know a little Hebraic roots, you're not going to pay any attention to what the sixth month means. But again, that's what this ministry is all about. So just remember that a little bit of knowledge will help open up the scriptures in a bigger way when you see, especially when you read Ezekiel 8 and 9, and also Haggai 1, where he reprimands them during the month of Elul to get that temple built. You know, they were being lazy. I think of the Laodicean Christians today about how they don't even bring their Bibles to church and seldom read it during the week. I happen to know that because people have told me. But anyway, I hope you'll tune in next week and we'll look into this even more and give you more details. Unless, of course, you can say your life in your home is completely in order and your relationships exactly as God would have them. So, oh precious one, if you're out there listening right now and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, you know, there's different Jesuses and you want the biblical one, the real one. There's counterfeit ones out there. Just remember that Christ died on the cross for you to pay your penalty for sin so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. He went through hell for you. And he even stands today at the door of your heart and knocks. And he is saying, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you hear my voice, will you open the door? If you do, I'll come in and sup with you. Truly. Do you feel his knocking right now on your heart? But remember, he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Don't be just like an in-name only Christian as well. Make sure you're where you need to be, and it's just not in your mind, but it's in your heart. And remember, no one has to go to hell. And God doesn't even send you to hell. It's your decision of where you want your soul to go. That, by the way, never dies. So, don't be a fool. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, 22 through 27. Yivarekakai Adonai v'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai panav aleka v'yoneka, Yasa Adonai panav aleka v'yisem l'ha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's shalom. So, pray for our president. Until next time, Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper in all areas of your life. God bless, and tell a friend to tune in next week. And don't forget, have those Bibles open. And if you get a chance, read Haggai and Ezekiel 8 and 9. We're going to talk about it next time. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShoFarmMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShoFarmMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Show Farm Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Show Farm Ministries.